Let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask the Lord to bless. Lord, I do thank you so much. God, peace, comfort, everything comes from you. I thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you that you've given us peace in our hearts because of salvation. I ask you, please be with our pastor tonight. Would you guide him as he preaches to us? Just continue to bless us, Lord. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Take your Bibles. Be seated. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We're going to read two verses. And then hold your place because we're going to be all over tonight, but I want to help you tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, honestly, may be the most helpful of all of the Bible studies out of Ecclesiastes, I think will be tonight. If not the most, one of the most. I'm going to read two verses that are going to be familiar to many of you, but it's not going to probably go the direction you think I'm going. But Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Now watch this. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, look at me for a second, and I'm going to catch you up on a few things. And then if you miss the next 5 minutes, you miss the whole lesson. God compares life to a race in the Bible. We'll see that in Hebrews chapter 12 later. But it's not a race like many of you think. It's not a race where you're in competition with someone else for first place. It's not like lining up everybody and say, okay, there's the line. Let's race, and whoever gets there first wins. That's not what God's race is in life. This race is much different. The goal of this race is to finish all of the events of life as well as you can. It's much like what we would call a decathlon. A decathlon is 10 events. You know, there's several different running events. They're all in track and field and different lengths, sprints, long distance. Then you have discus and shot put and javelin and long jump. And then you have pole vaulting and other things. And there's many different aspects of it. Someone can win the decathlon and never come in first place one time. It's not a matter of who can come in first place. And that's exactly like the race of life that God has given to us. This is not like the 100-yard dash or the mile run. It's more like the decathlon. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God is not as concerned with you competing in each event to be first. He already knows you'll not come in first in all events. Did you hear what I just said? He already knows that. He wants us to do our best in every event, though. You see, God wants us to see that life is not a collection of gold medals and trophies. I want to help change how you think tonight. America is addicted to competition. We're addicted to thinking we have to be first. We have to be best. I've got to have the most. No, life is finishing the next event, the event ahead. Let me rephrase that. Life is getting through the event we're on to get to the next event. And if I finish this event well, I should be able to handle the next event. You see, each event builds on the next event. You see, you have to forget the past ones to work on the present one. Whether you did well, whether you did poorly. By the way, that's what school and education's all about. Every day in school is not going to be your best day, but you ought to give your best, because each day builds on the next day. Well, I didn't do as well today. Okay, tomorrow's coming, do your best. If you'll do well today, tomorrow will be much easier. You see, just because you finish one or two things well does not mean you win the race of life. Now, please pay attention to me. I really need your attention. Some of us think because we do one event well, we're doing well in the race of life. No, because you're failing in the other nine. You see, God wants us to complete each and every task as it comes. It is the sum total of all events that determines your race in life. Now, listen to this. No two people have the exact same race. My wife and I have been together, married 35 and a half years. We've known each other 37 years, and we're both in separate races. Yeah. She's been dragging me along for 35 years, amen? But no two people have the exact same race. No two people have the exact combination of strengths and weaknesses. Parents, quit judging your kids based off of you. They're not you. Quit being disappointed in adult children. They're not you. They're not living your life. They're living their life. It's their race, not your race. Everybody doing okay? I'm about to come unscrewed here. Hang on. Just like any other race, we don't need to be looking around at every event criticizing others for not finishing the way we did. Something you learn about running, you don't look around to see where everybody else is at, because you're going to end up on your face. By the time you turn your head, guess what? Somebody passed you up and you're going to fall down. Say, what do? Focus on the finish line. We're to run the race that is set before us. Now, let's take a little closer look at this tonight. Number one, life is a race with many events. It's not one long run. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I personally hate long distance running. You say, what's long distance? Anything farther than from my chair to the kitchen table. You've never seen a happy jogger. Yeah, she faked it for the camera. She didn't look like that for all 26 miles. Now, hang on for a second. I'm not criticizing runners, but I hate long distance running. Now, that's why I like baseball, because it was just 90 feet at a time. And short sprints, catch your breath, get ready for the next time. I can do this. You see, but life is not one long marathon. It is a series of different events as they come up in life. And each event is part of your race. Just like a decathlon has 10 different segments to it, life is bigger than a decathlon. It has more than 10 segments. But each one builds on the next. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let me show you what I mean. We'll let God tell us what God means, not what you think it means. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what?
Patience.
Patience, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God showed us how that he won those three events. You see, he said, let us run the race that is set before us? What is that race that is set before us? Life. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's after the book of Psalms. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of what? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Notice God puts the word of life with running. In other words, life is a race that we run. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth and the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, look, once an event's over, forget it, keep moving. Take what you learned from it, get the strength that you got from it, but you can't go back and relive it. You know, you can't relive history. You can't relive the past. Many of you wish you could. You wouldn't have as many regrets. Wouldn't make as many mistakes. But you can't live it. You cannot relive what is already past. When our first child was on its way, my dad looked at my wife and I and he said, just remember, you only got one shot at it. Better do your best. When the second one was born, he said, remember, you only got one shot at it. Better make sure it's your best. By the third time, I think we almost got it right. but can I tell you something? My dad was right. You only have one chance as a parent. And you better give it your best. And by the time they leave your house, it's over. Now, you still have that title, dad, but you don't have the position, dad. That ends. Everybody doing okay? The race has many events with many different skill sets needed. Everybody look at me for a second here. Not everybody's equipped the same way. Not at all. Some can sing. Some of us can't. Some administer well. Some don't give them an administrative job. Some are good laborers, but they're not good bosses. Some are good in math. Others are good in English. Some are good in every other area. Some sow. Some don't sow. Some build. Some should never build. I get that. But we have to understand something. Just because you have a skill set I don't doesn't mean you're a better runner than I am. You're not running my race. I'm not running your race. I purposely don't have computer skills. It would take me longer to learn it, and everything around me would fail while I did than it does to pay somebody else to do it. You might laugh at that, but it's a true statement. It's not that I don't understand it. I just don't know what buttons to push. Now, I do have to laugh. I have computer demons. My secretary will look at me, please leave the building. Okay, what machine's not working now, you know? Well, recently we've had some trouble at the bank with a key that didn't work. I said, that's not a computer. It's not my fault. But where were we the other day? You laughed about it. It was something else, and we were having trouble with something. My wife said, it's because of you. I said, I didn't even. She said, you're here. No lie. We were in Hawaii, and the guy's computer broke down while he was trying to check us in. I'm not kidding. I looked at my wife, and she just said, Mrs. Barnes would be dying right now. Standing in a hotel lobby. Now, wait a second. Just because we don't all have the same skill set does not mean you're running your race better than I'm running mine. Nor does it mean I'm running mine better than you're running yours. I'm not running your race, I'm running my race. Let me show you what I mean. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Notice he says in verse 10, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. I returned and saw unto the sun that the race, now watch this, is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Watch this. In other words, the race isn't just to those that can go quickly. Just because you can move fast doesn't mean you're productive. It doesn't say just to the strong only. Just because you can lift more than anybody else doesn't mean you're going to win the race. Not to the wise only. Just because you have a quick mind doesn't mean that you'll win the race either. There's people with quick minds throughout DC and in public education, but they're not doing anything worthwhile. Not to those of understanding. Say, well, I have good understanding. Yeah, you might have good understanding, but if that's all you do is understand and don't do anything with it, what good was it? Not to those with skill. Some of you have very precise skill levels with different things. Great. But just because you can do one thing very well doesn't mean you're going to win the race. But I want you to notice the last statement of verse 11. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Now watch this. God says success is preparation meeting opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity, there is success. God says he'll provide the opportunity. You have to provide the preparation. Time and chance happeneth to them all. I believe there's preacher boys. I know there's preacher boys that were called to preach when I was called to preach who've never gone into the ministry. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Everybody doing okay? There's men I went to Bible college with who are no longer in the ministry. Time and chance happeneth to them all. I'm too stubborn to give up. I'll run the race that is set before me. I'm not looking at your race. I'm not looking at your race. I'm not looking at anybody else's race. I have to run the race that God gave me to run. It's the only race I have to run. So God says, time and chance happeneth to them all. Now watch this. God supplies the opportunities. We must supply the preparation. Wonder how many times things have come our way and we weren't ready for it. And it makes the next part of the race that much harder. Young people, boys and girls, listen to me. That's what school's all about. You have to do every page in every homework assignment like it was a final exam. If you'll do that, when the final exam comes, it'll be much easier. Brother Steve and I, when we took Cedric to college, he asked some advice. And I said, look, take the time you have between classes and just read over your notes. I said, if you'll constantly review, I said, you can pick up an extra couple hours of study every week and never put any more time into Bible college. I said, you won't be up all night studying for a final if you study every day right before class. And you take good notes and you pay attention to what the teacher says. I said, in that review, you're already with the teacher when they start teaching. Shoot, we had classes that were Monday, Tuesday classes and then Wednesday through Friday classes. If you took a Monday, Tuesday class, you only went to class on Monday and Tuesday for those classes and didn't go to that class again until the following Monday. Well, shoot. You go 5 days without being in a class and try to remember what you had 5 days ago in class. So I would take that 5 or 7 minutes that I had between classes, read my notes, get back up to speed. So as the teacher jumped in, I was right with him. But you do that on Monday, do that on Tuesday. I had 10, 15 minutes of study time in every week just for a 2-hour class. Multiply that by a whole semester, I didn't have to study for a final. Say, why? Because I kept doing a little at a time, kept building on it, building on it, and building on it. And as I did, the information retained. Give your best to the moment. I'll get into that in a moment. Number two, I gotta hurry. Our preparation then is the key to success to our race. Life is a race with many events, not just one long event. Our preparation is the key to the success of our race. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 24. Everybody doing okay? All right. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Notice that statement, temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain the corruptible, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, look, we're in this race. Okay, I've heard preachers get up and preach against sin, against things that would ruin them in the ministry, and watch them ruin themselves in the ministry because they didn't do what they preached. Say, oh, that's a tragedy. They're sinners just like you and me. They just chose not to be prepared, even though they prepared others. What were they doing? They didn't keep their body under subjection. They weren't temperate in all things. That word temperate, that means like tempering steel. It's heated and cooled and heated and cooled. And it has to be heated so that it can be hardened so that it's strong enough. You don't take weak steel and make a knife out of it because it won't hold an edge. You got to have hardened carbon steel on the edge of a knife so that you can keep an edge on it and cut things. That's exactly what God's talking about here. You have to be temperate. You have to be hard enough, firm enough, strong enough to endure to do what is before you. These football players that start screaming and hollering at their coaches, they don't make it very long. You know why? Because they're not temperate. The average college boy loves his coach. Coach can just about beat the tar out of him, and he loves his coach for it. You know why? Because he's trying to make him a better football player. I'm not saying that's the right way. Don't get me wrong. But if we would run our race and do that to ourselves, we wouldn't have so many problems with everybody else in their race. Boy, that's a good statement. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. We were there earlier. Don't take time to turn there. But it talked about the words of life. How do we prepare for the race? First of all, we have to be temperate in all things. We have to bring our body under subjection to obey the word of God. Number two, we got to know the word of God and use the word of God. The word of God is not spoofle dust that you sprinkle all over a thing and Shazam, everybody knows the answers. But these are the words of life, and the race we run is life. Therefore, we've got to know the book. It's in our obedience to the Bible. You know, Philippians 3:13-14 says this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth of the things which are before. I realize there's two veins of thinking on that, but in this vein, that means this. You can't go back and relive the past. Quit living in the past. I call it quit living in the rearview mirror. You drive home tonight and don't look out the windshield and only look at the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. Say why? Because you're too concerned with what was, not concerned about what is. Well, I didn't grow up with a Christian family, preacher, and I'll do everything I can. And you go so far that as all you do is remember the past. Can I tell you what bitterness is? Focusing on the past. Not forgiving the past. Forgive yourself. Go forward. Shoot, there's so much that happened in my past I don't even remember. Because it's so long ago. But you have to understand something. There are some major events in my life in the past that molded me into being what I am. Yes, it is, but I don't spend every day of my life thinking about it. I got up yesterday morning and realized it was January 7th. It was 49 years ago yesterday I went into the hospital for my hip disease. And the only reason I remembered it because my mom said, well, it's bicentennial year, 1776. And it was in 1976. So I had the bicentennial year. That's how I remembered what day I went into the hospital. My brother said, boy, that's random. How in the world did you remember that? It's because bicentennial, 1776. He said, I never noticed that before. I said, it wasn't your hip. It was mine. Now, wait a second. 49 years. My wife made a statement to me yesterday because I mentioned it to her. She said, boy, they did a good job. You've been walking on it for 47 years since then. And she's right. I could complain that it hurts every once in a while, but I thank God I still got it and didn't have to have it replaced. I'm thankful I've been able to walk all these years. Matter of fact, I had an x-ray done of it several years ago, and it's actually getting better the older I get. It's healing more. That doesn't happen. Say, what is that? God has blessed. But I also remember 49 years ago this week, my pastor, my assistant pastor, Harold Henniger, and Bobby Johnson, the song director, walked into a hospital ward, pediatric hospital ward. This is the old days. It was a room about the size of our auditorium and had probably, oh, I'm guessing 15, 20 beds in it, didn't it, Dad? Probably pretty close to that. Walked in, came in, talked to me for a few minutes, prayed with me, walked out. I remember laying on my back in traction for 3 weeks. And I said, God, that made me feel better. I hope someday I'll be able to go to a hospital and help somebody else feel like this. And I believe God planted the seed of the desire to be a preacher that day. I have no doubt about it. None whatsoever. Little did I know I'd spend half my life in hospitals helping people do that. You see, we get ready for life and take it one event at a time, always looking ahead. Can I tell you something? Yesterday's gone. Don't worry about it. Let's go forward. Last year's over. Let's go forward. We will run according to how closely to God's words we obey. Not to how closely we want to interpret it, how closely God says it. Every situation in life we face is part of our race. How closely to handling it the way God says determines the outcome of our race. I have no doubt about it. I'm trying to be careful here and I don't want to embarrass them, but I'll promise you one thing. The way you handled what you've been through in the last several months, been a tough part of the race, but look what God's doing. Say why? Because they've done it according to the word of God. Not according to the preacher, to the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? You have no idea what they've been through. You don't have any idea how God's worked miracle after miracle after miracle. But it comes by doing what God says. Should we then be angry and bitter about the past? No, it made us what we are. Whether good or bad, how about you just run the next event? Everybody doing okay? Learn from each situation and build on it as we face future situations. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second here. Many people do poorly in school because they only do the question that's right before them and they never think about it again. And because you never review it, you don't go any farther. When you read, you don't think. You just read words. We're supposed to think about what we read. Everybody doing okay? That's why when you're... I got to hurry up here. I got so much I want to say. Number three. God says run our race with our might. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He starts by telling us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now everybody look at me. That means this. God wants you to give your best every day. Every day. Not just at the things you like to do. God says give your best at every event you do every day. I can promise you more gets done in that little room right back there off the back of the auditorium called my office that I don't want to do every day. I do far more of what I don't want to do than I do of what I want to do. Say, but preacher, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You see, God wants us to give our best every day. You say, why? Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. What is life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I've told my wife this so many times. I'll give my best every day that I can. Because I don't know which day's my last. And I want to go out, pedal to the metal, hair on fire. I want to go out with my best. I really do. Use your might. The word might there. It means firmness, hardness, strength. As you get stronger, your muscles get harder. The harder they get, the stronger you are. And God says it takes a hardness. No, I'll be honest with you. 4:30 in the morning isn't an hour that most people should be up. But it's what God's chosen for me. I'm going to do it. Say why? Because I got to work twice as hard to get half as much done. I'll push me. I'll not push you, but I'll push me. But we have such a soft society today that people don't know what it means to push themselves. They don't know what it means to give their best every day. Everybody doing all right? I thank God for a new president that's coming in that knows how to give his best every day. He's going to name the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. I like that. Next thing they're going to accuse him of is being Napoleon. Amen. Using our might. Now listen to this statement. Everybody look at me. By using your might, you build strength. You don't lose strength. The more energy you expend, the stronger you get, not the weaker. You will get tired. That's what rest is for. Just because you're tired doesn't mean you're weak. means you supposedly did something. See, the more you use it and then you rest and you feed it properly, the stronger you get. You don't get stronger by doing nothing. You get stronger by doing more. The stronger you get, the bigger the tasks are that lay ahead. If we give our might every day, we'll be strong enough to handle the big tasks when they come. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but I've preached hundreds and hundreds of funerals. When I had to preach my mama's funeral, I was ready for it. Say why? Because I had preached so many funerals, I knew what I needed to do to get through it. I've preached 3 of my grandparents' funerals. I've preached 2 of my wife's grandparents' funerals. I've preached funerals for preachers. I've preached funerals for Michael's mom. I've preached hard funerals. I've preached funerals for people I never even met. I've preached funerals for saved people, for lost people. May I say something? In the process of doing that, it made me strong enough so that when the time came where it hurt me personally, I was still able to do it. I gained strength from helping others so that when I needed the strength, it was there. Well, preacher, how did you not fall apart? Because I had been building the strength all along to be able to do so. Everybody doing okay? Those who crumple in overwhelmedness, I know that's not a word, but I made it up, are those who do not give their best every day. Oh, I just feel like I'm going to fall apart. Yeah, because you're not giving your best every day, and you're so worried about what isn't here yet and what you didn't do right before that you're not focusing on today. I'm for planning. God knows I believe in planning. 2025 is planned. But watch this. I'm going to give my best for January 8th today. I can't worry about January 9th till about 4 hours and 2 minutes. You see, I've got to live today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If tomorrow never comes, I want the satisfaction of having given my best today. Can I tell you why you hate school? Because you don't give your best every day. Everybody doing okay? I just went from preaching to meddling. I'm not preaching chapel this week, so they're getting it tonight. Amen. By the way, I want you to know something else God says. Look at the end of verse number 10 in Ecclesiastes 9. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Everybody listen to this next couple statements here. I cannot take my strength to the grave. I cannot take my wisdom to the grave. I can't take my accomplishments to the grave, because when I'm in the grave, I'm gone. Having it all set in reserve will do me no good. If I've not used it, what good was it? Therefore, I must use it every day. Boy, that's good stuff. My accomplishments can send things ahead to heaven. But I cannot take what I am to the grave with me. Because when I quit breathing, it's gone. So why should I hold back? By the way, that's why I believe school is the equivalent of a child's work, their job. Lamentations 3:27 says it's good for a man to bear the burden in his youth. I believe a child ought to be as faithful to school as we're expected to be in a paid job. Please don't. I'm not looking at anybody. Okay? But I was going to turn my back, but I'll look at the clock. Some of you would get fired for showing up to work as little as you have your kids go to school. Well, that's school. That's not work. They're not getting paid. You're building on what they are going to be paid for. You're building the character that they will earn while they're out there. I think perfect attendance ought to be the highest honor almost in our school, other than Christian Character Award. Say why? Because it shows faithfulness and hard work. Shoot. Straight A's? I'm happy for you. I never got it. You give me that person who's just there when they're supposed to be all the time, and they show up when they're supposed to be, they're going to get more than those that come when they want to. This is why, okay, I love you with white hair out there. This is why staying active and doing all you can as you get older will keep you stronger longer. I love the fact that some of our senior saints do things. Mrs. Myers, she can't get out and run laps and run up and down steps and go soul winning, but every bundle of tracts that this church has passed out in the last several years, those rubber bands were, she's counted them out and put rubber bands on every stack of tracts you took out. And there's some other senior citizens that have helped with that project from time to time. Say why? They might not be able to go out and knock on doors, but they help those of us who do. They've done what they could to stay active to help. Boy, I love that. Don't sit your life away. I don't want to be a life sitter. I want to stay active. Doctors will tell you the worst thing you can do is stay sitting the older you get. Walk. Amen, Brother Jim? Just don't fall in the driveway and break your hip. I want to die with an empty tank. I don't want to go with a full tank. I want everything that when I'm done, when I take my last breath, when I get to heaven, I want God to say, time for vacation, son. I do. I want to give my all. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 and I'll be done. Galatians chapter 5, I want to read one verse, I'll make a couple of statements, and we'll pray and have an invitation here. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 says this, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You did run well. Some of you started running well, and then you let somebody hinder you from obeying the truth. Then it's time to start obeying the truth so you can run well again. The influences you choose around you determine how well you'll run.
That's right.
I'm glad I have friends like Dr. Jeff Fugit, Dr. John C., Brother Chris Drullard, Brother Niall Bulkley II and III, and others, men that push me. Men that sometimes intimidate me. Men like Dr. Jim Jorgensen, that every time he calls, I go, what did I do this time? I'm glad I have men in my life that intimidate me that are my friends. You say, why? Because I want them to influence me so that I run well. I'll read another verse to you there in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says this, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel that I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Look at me. When you run for God, it's not in vain. Money you won't take with you. Popularity, you won't take it with you. Fame, won't take it with you. Position, stays behind. Somebody else fills the slot. The race of life is not a competition with others. Each person has their own race to run, and we cannot compare one to another. By the way, that means we shouldn't judge others either. God tells us exactly how we're to run our race. Run your race the best you can. Get your eyes off of others and focus each day on your race and doing your best. When you run out of might, the Holy Spirit will kick in and be what you cannot be. Many days I'm running hard. I'm tired. Brother Steve, sometimes I'm pretty weary. And I'll say, God, I got people to help. Would you help me? Holy Spirit, would you help me? And all of a sudden, big old dose of comes in. Got my second wind. Here we go. God's a pretty big problem. Not sure I can carry it. Okay. Got some extra juice. Here we go. You see, run the race that is set before you. Run it each day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many times we get entangled. We're worried about somebody else's race. We're more concerned about theirs than ours, and we hinder ourselves from running well. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Maybe you were the one hindering yourself.